A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please remain seated now for the psalm.
The psalm is Psalm 133, Bulletin Insert, or on page 787 in the prayer book. Let's recite it together.
Oh, how good and pleasant it is when the brethren live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore.
Please remain seated now for the second reading from 1 John.
We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. Hymn 206.
according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening of the day of resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples noticed, when they saw the Lord, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." With this, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. First Avenue early on Sunday mornings. It's pretty quiet as opposed to Friday night or Saturday night. It's pretty quiet down here early on Sunday mornings. In fact, it's quiet enough we could probably pull off doing the 8 o'clock service in the middle of the street. I wouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, it's quiet down here. So I walked over, I don't know what time Tree unlocks the doors. I walk over about 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And as I came in the door this morning, there was a young man sitting about where Mr. Jackson is, just in the church. And I thought, well, that's a little bit early for church. And as I walked by him, he said, good morning. And I said, good morning. And he said, how are you? And I said, I don't know. I just woke up. And then, you know, because he was sitting here in the church at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I said, how are you? And he said, I'm okay. I just needed to come sit in here because it's always so peaceful in here. And he sat here till about 8 o'clock, and then he walked on. And that's finally what we have to give, it occurred to me as the morning's gone on. Not free coffee, and though we do have that. Not pretty windows, because we do have that. But that sense he had of, I'd just like to come sit in here because it's so peaceful in here. And it is. People sit in here all during the week, night and day, because it's so peaceful in here. And that peace is here because you are here. Because you are here. And each of us, through baptism, carries the breath of the risen Christ. And we leave some of that each time we're here together. How are you? I'd just like to come sit in here because it's so peaceful in here. Now, off in another direction. I'd heard about it. I'd run into people that had said, it's true. It's really true. I've seen it for myself. It's true. It's really true. But some part of me really didn't believe it. Till I stopped at the parking lot at Kramer's Dairy yesterday. And it's true. It's really true. They're really here. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to run into people and say, I saw it. But you got to see it for yourself. And sitting there in the parking lot with the snow and the mud and the puddles and those geese just kind of wandering around doing geese things out there. It was really nice. You got to see it for yourself, you see? You got to see it for yourself. So welcome to Thomas this morning, who's got to see it for himself, you see? And you got to like Thomas. There's more to Thomas than just the story this morning. You got to like Thomas. Thomas called the twin, notice it says. Because maybe he's a twin of each of us. Maybe he's our brother. Maybe he's like us. There's more to Thomas than this story. In the days before Palm Sunday, in the days before our Lord is about to enter Jerusalem, as our Lord explains to the apostles, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Andrew, all them, that now he's going to Jerusalem. And things are going to happen there. And the apostles say, this isn't really a good idea. You don't want to go there. It's going to be hard there. Things are going to happen there. Yeah, it's not a good idea. And he says, and our Lord says, no, I'm going to go. And they say, nah, not a good idea. Let's go fishing or something. And Thomas is the one that speaks up and says, let's go to Jerusalem so we can die with him. That's Thomas. Thomas is your best friend that you know will always be there with you, no matter what. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but let's go with him so we can die with him. That's Thomas, you see, that speaks up. And then after they get to Jerusalem, and indeed, things are starting to happen, and it's getting a little bit scary and a little bit hard and a little bit tough, and in that passage that we always read at funerals, when our Lord says to Matthew and Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and all them, as he tries to explain what's about to happen, he says, "Don't be worried. In my Father's house there are many rooms. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you can be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas, everybody else is quiet. Thomas is the one that says, "Huh-uh. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. We don't know where the trail is. What do you mean we know?" Thomas, I am the way. Thomas is the one that speaks up and says, "I don't understand a thing that's going on." Thomas is me a lot of the time. I don't have a clue what's happening. Thomas is the one that says, "I don't know what's going on. What are you talking about? What are you doing? What's happening?" Ask my children. They'll tell you I've been confused their whole life. I don't understand what's going on. We're all Thomas. Thomas is the best friend that you know will always be there with you. Let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. Thomas is the one that says, "No, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's going on." And Thomas, then, this morning's story. Because things do happen there in Jerusalem. There's a cross, and there's a death. And as the story begins, now 3 days later, everybody's together except Thomas. And where's Thomas? Because when somebody dies close to you, it tends to isolate you. You want to just be alone. You don't want to mess with other people. So maybe Peter, James, John, etc. are all hanging out together in a room where the doors are locked for fear, it says. But Thomas isn't even there. Thomas is just off by himself. "I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to mess with anybody. I just feel like duh. And I don't want to mess with it." Because when someone close to you dies, you gotta sometimes you just separate yourself off. And that's Thomas. So while he's off by himself, this being Easter night, the Lord shows up through those locked doors and says to Peter, James, John, etc., "Peace be with you." So they go and find Thomas and say, "We've seen him, we've seen the Lord." And Thomas says, "Yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I can touch it." Because Thomas feels too bad. And also maybe because, you see, maybe Thomas feels like a failure. Let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. But Thomas and everybody else runs away. Nobody died with him. Nobody even hung around and watched, except for his mother. So Thomas is wrapped up not only in guilt and grief, but the sense of he's messed up. "Yeah, right, I'll believe it when I see it. When I can put my fingers in that wound on the side, then I'll believe he's back." So a week later, today, they're all together again in that same room. Notice the doors aren't locked anymore. And Thomas is there, though, this time. "Come on, Thomas, you're part of us. I even though, come on, Thomas." And the Lord appears in the room and says, "Thomas, come here." And Thomas falls to his knees and says, in what's really the climax of the Gospel of John, "My Lord and my God." There's more going on here than just, "Gee, you're a nice guy that tells nice stories." "My Lord and my God," says Thomas, kneeling. So what do we learn from Thomas? Maybe these things. When the Lord Jesus appears, Easter night and then a week later, to this guilty group who's made a complete flop of things, he appears in their midst and says in the Greek, Irene, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And when Thomas is then with them a week later, our Lord enters and looks at Thomas and says, first, Irene, peace be with you. But what about this and what about that? And I've made a complete mess of my life and blah, 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 and I, peace be with you. Peace be with you. But what about the peace be with you? For that's the gift of the risen Lord at Easter. That's what he brings. His peace. What doors do I lock for fear in my heart? And at least part of the story is there's no escape from God. You can lock all the doors you want in your life. He's going to show up. Peace be with you. What about this? What else? Peace be with you. And another thing to notice, as I pointed out in the last service, if our Lord was from Alabama, he would have said as he came in the door, peace be with you. Y'all. It's peace be with you together. He speaks to the group together. Peace be with y'all. The community together. How good and pleasant it is when folks live together in unity, said the psalm. The group together. And that it's okay and it's good just to hang out. That's a good and holy thing, just hanging out. Thomas doesn't believe a word of anything's going on. Yeah, right. He feels bad about what he's done. He feels bad about what he hasn't done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he's still hanging out with the community. He's still there. It's good just to hang out. It's okay just to hang out. But what about this? What about that? Doesn't matter. That peace of the risen Lord will come to you too. It's even there in that last verse, so that you may come to believe. Doesn't happen overnight. You got to hang out for a while, just one step in front of the other. Just like when you're wrapped up in grief and death, you don't know what you're doing. You just follow the steps, one step after another, and eventually, peace be with you. Thomas just hangs out. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And now maybe we can begin to understand a little bit about this kind of circus that happens in the middle of the service every Sunday morning when me or whoever's doing the service says, peace be with you. And you say, peace be with you. And then we all kind of mill around. There's more going on than just, good morning, Anna. Nice to see you. It's because it is nice to see you or you or you. But peace be with you. Because our Lord leans over and breathes on the apostles. And how close do you have to be to someone to feel their breath on him? And says, receive, Holy Spirit. Even as I have forgiven you, now you go forgive others. And that same Spirit, that same breath, comes to you and I in holy baptism. Peace be with you is what's going on in that morning circus of passing the peace. Peace be with you. In this world of muck and light, geese and mud, transitions and changes and hard times and everything else. The gift we carry is just that simple, peace be with you. Arene, he says again and again and again. Amen.